has a special word for you. You know, we are hearing so many things around this world. 2 days ago, I got up in the morning. Normally, before I coffee, I just watch the headlines. I saw tsunami in Tokyo. Not Tokyo, northern part of Japan. The previous week, we had a guest from Japan, and we were just devastated. We were thinking, what's happening in Japan? And 30 feet tsunami, and just it destroys everything. And they show the picture again and again and again and again. It's alarming. You know, we think we are so safe. What if there is a tsunami somewhere here? Or, you know, several years ago, we saw a tsunami in Indonesia. And you saw the destruction in Sri Lanka, India, and it came as far as Kenya. You know, people were getting ready to celebrate Christmas. They could not celebrate Christmas because of tsunami. You know, about a month ago, I had to call my friend in New Zealand, but I could not get through to him. He's a pastor in a place called Church Street, Christchurch. He was a student here, and, you know, there was a devastation there, earthquake. Nothing is safe. New Zealand is such a beautiful place. You will think, man, nothing will happen to that place. Earthquake. Who thought that there will be unrest in the Middle East? We thought that is going to be a stable place. A lot of Easterners go there. When I went to Dubai and Sharjah, I thought I was in India. You see there, we saw Tunisia. There was unrest. Egypt, unrest. Libya, unrest. And we saw a little bit of Bahrain. Some of you were born in Bahrain here. Those, you know, some of our friends. Who thought there will be unrest in Bahrain? Who thought there will be unrest in Libya? We don't know how it is going to happen. The world is fragile. The security in this world is not a security at all. It's vanity. And that is what I'd like to talk today. Some of you may be thinking, man, I have been praying for something. Nothing is happening. Some of you may be thinking, wow, this loan is just crushing me. It's killing me. Some of you may be thinking, relationship is not going well. You know, you have already lost hope. You may be very wealthy, very powerful, and well-educated, but none of them help you in the time of difficulty. You know, whatever we have, so say for example, if you have a PhD and if you have severe headache, PhD doesn't help you. You will know, okay, come, I will exegete a few passages. That is not going to take away your headache. If you have money, suddenly you have some illness. You know, some of us went through illness. Last year, we thought my wife was very healthy, but she was going through difficult time. One day when the report came, we could not really understand. Doctor said, you know, she has this one. We will not even wait for 2 minutes to start the treatment. Everything changed in seconds. Just after the service, I'm going to pray for a family. Last week they called. They said, brother, our family is going through a difficult time because they found out one of the persons in the family had cancer. Life is uncertain. Security that we think of is not security at all. So before we go into the passage, I'd like to show you a few pictures here. Could we just have the pictures or photographs? This is Jerusalem. You know, this is first century Jerusalem. But what I'm going to talk about is 700 years before this Jerusalem. There is a wall, and that wall is called the Wall of Hezekiah. That was rebuilt by Nehemiah, and later on Herod rebuilt it. But you know, although you see it is in a flat land, it is actually a hill area. Here, south, that is called City of David, a 10-acre real estate. There, we'll go to the next one. That is Kidron Valley. And there is, outside, you will not see a spring. About 700 years before Christ, Jerusalem was besieged by Assyrians. There was a person by Sennacherib. Sennacherib defeated Egypt. He defeated several other countries. And his father even defeated Samaria, the northern part of Israel, and he took all the men to Syria and got them married. You know, he killed a lot of them, and he got all women married to Syrians. And he wanted to invade Jerusalem and make Jerusalem as part of Syria. He came to a place called Lachish. It's a kind of stone throw distance from city of Jerusalem. It's close to Bethlehem. And he was sitting there besieging the whole city. That means, you know, people would not be able to go out. They would not be able to come in. No commerce, no food, nothing. And they knew that there is a spring at the end of city of David. People would come there to fetch water, so they would be able to defeat them. But before that, God had a different plan. He gave Hezekiah a wisdom to make tunnel, maybe 50 feet, 100 feet down in city of David, that is 10-acre real estate. Two groups of people. One group started digging from one side. Another group started digging from another side. And the spring was going from top to, you know, we know water always goes gravity top down. But they dug from, two groups dug from two sides. They all met in one place to tap water for, that flows down, redirect to city of Jerusalem. It was one of the miracles that can happen is two groups of people. They did not know they were following the same path. They just dug the rock. We don't know how many days they took. You know, when you go through this tunnel, I went through this tunnel. You know, you see this pickaxe mark from one side. It goes one direction this way. And suddenly you come to a place, the pickaxe mark come from the other side. They both met in one particular place. And there is an inscription there. It says, this is Hezekiah Tunnel, and he praises God. And that, I think the inscription is in one of the libraries, if I'm correct, it is there in Syria. But that is real. It is, you know, sometimes we can say, this happened by chance. But a lot of things we read in the Bible are not chance, but God is behind it. We'll see a few more pictures. This is the inscription that was taken out from here, and it is in one of the museums. I think it is in Syria. Go to the next one, please. Yeah, this is Shiloh. Siloam. It is mentioned in John chapter 9. Until recently, people thought there was no water here, and it was dug because of AD 70. There was war. Romans besieged the city, and they just destroyed the entire city, and for over 2,000 years, or close to 2,000 years, this was just completely closed. So a lot of scholars thought, you know, Jesus performing miracle and healing this blind man was not true. They thought, you know, where is Siloam? But recently, they found out this one. I went there and, you know, you can touch the water. The water comes from the tunnel, the other side. That is, the water that goes down is redirected, and now it comes to the city. You know, why I want to tell you this one is, we are going to study Psalm 46. Most people believe, including me, that Psalm 46 was composed by Hezekiah, or someone who was very close to Hezekiah composed the psalm. In 2009, I preached from this psalm with a different theme, but I'm going to speak today with a different theme. And we have the passage here. We will just read it together, or I'll just read. You can look at the slide. Can we just go? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. Desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Martin Luther composed the song, Mighty Fortress is Our God, based on this psalm. You know, 701, Sennacherib invaded besieged the city for several months. Hezekiah was so afraid. A lot of time we think kings don't have fear. A king who had all the power and all the treasure with him, when Sennacherib besieged the city, he was really afraid. He went to Isaiah. Isaiah said, God is going to bring deliverance. And there is a passage I would like to read from 2 Kings. You don't need to turn there. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. Isaiah said, God is going to deliver you from the hands of Sennacherib. Nothing will happen to you, Hezekiah. And, go at peace. Or go in peace. And this is what we read. That night the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. No one knew how that happened. The morning people went out of the city or just looked through the city, the wall of the city. 185,000 dead bodies strewn. And when the people got up in the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke the camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. Nineveh was their capital at that time. He stayed there. He was killed by two of his sons. Then, his reign went to his son, Esargadon. But this is what I see. Hezekiah was so afraid, like a lot of us. Deaths, fight, rejection, hopelessness, isolation. Addiction. We know that there is no other way. We are looking to God. And same way Hezekiah looked to God. God, how can I survive? This is a small land. Compared to Sennacherib's army, we are nothing. We are like mosquitoes. God said, I'm going to give you deliverance. When God fights, he doesn't need army. He doesn't need weapons. The next day morning they got up, 185,000 people dead, and king ran to Nineveh where he was killed by his own sons. Now we will go to the passage. What I would like us to do is, we'll look at first six verses, and we will ask what we have positively and what we have negatively. What we have positively in verse 1 and 2, at least one, is this. God is our refuge. We have refuge. You know what is the meaning of refuge? Refuge is shelter. We have shelter. We have strength. And we have an ever-present help. We have provision, that is the water. And God is in our midst. When you look at this first six verses, we have these things positively. We have refuge, we have strength, we have help, we have provision, and very presence of God. On the other side, negatively, what we have fear, we have earthquake, we have mountains falling, waters roaring, nations in uproar. One side, we have all the blessings, the other side, we have all those negative things that are threatening us. And a lot of us can identify with the psalmist. We believe we belong to God. A lot of us say, I am a believer. How can my family members die? Or how can my family members go through difficulties? Say, I pray for Japan. How can people in Japan die? Thousands of people. Sometimes we may say, how can people be affected by AIDS? A lot of them are Christians. This is what I see, or I have a question here. What do verses 1 to 6 teach us today? Is blessings and difficulties coexist? In other words, security and crisis go hand in hand. The other day I asked a question, can fear and trust go hand in hand? We see that it's a tension. You know, Jesus is in the boat, but the disciples are so afraid. They thought they were going to be drowned. But Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, is in the boat. He is so peaceful. He is not afraid. He knew that they were not going to drown. But they did everything they could. Finally, they screamed at Jesus. The same thing here in Psalm 46, if the context was Hezekiah and the besieging of the city, there Hezekiah has everything. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, he was the best king for whole of Judah from Solomon's time until the end of the monarchy. He had everything he needed. He had military, he had armory, he had gold, and he had everything, all the comfort. When something else came, he was so afraid. This is what it says. He ran to Isaiah. For 3 days, he sat in the presence of God, and he made a command that the whole nation was going to fast and pray. And he composed this psalm, and he tells us that difficulties and blessings coexist. Or crisis and security coexist. Though the ground reality appears to threaten the very existence of God's people, God will protect them. You know, the first part of the psalm, psalmist was so afraid, but he also had confidence. God is my refuge. God is my strength. He is my very present help. And he is going to give me all the provisions I need. But the other side, he sees, I am afraid of the people. There is earthquake. There was no earthquake, but the situation was such that the mountains are going to roll into the ocean. And there were so many calamities happening. But he understood from the psalm, discern from the psalm, though the ground reality of the people of God is threatened, God will protect them. Even today, I believe that. You know, we are not exempt from difficulties. We are not exempt from joblessness. We are not exempt from financial crisis. We are not exempt from illnesses, difficulties. You know, we may be so good, but people betray us. People deceive us. We may be wonderful. We may be helping other people. Still, those people will slap us. Or they will deceive us deliberately. But ultimately, if you are the child of God, you know, your victory is sure. And that victory cannot be defined in human terms, but in God's term, God will give us victory. That is what we see in verse 1 to 6. And verse 7 is some kind of refrain. They sing 7 and 11. The verse is repeated. So we don't need to look at verse 7, but we will go to verse 8. Verse 8 says in Psalm 46, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Previous day, the city was besieged. People were dejected. Everything was going wrong. But the morning, he calls everyone, come and see the desolation God has brought on us. This is what I see. Verse 8 teaches, God prevailed over that which threatened the existence of his people. God will always prevail. You know, the threat will come. We will be almost drowning. But God is going to take the victory. Verse 9 says here, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. It's amazing here is, you know, God gives us victory. You know the story of people going to Jericho. They were unsophisticated people. That's what I presume. Rough. They didn't have any tools they had like the other people. Their civilization was just developing. God says, go around the city of Jericho 7 times, 7 days. You know, it is God who fights for us. When Elijah was surrounded by the army of Ahab, Elijah was not afraid, and he told his servant, says, just look at what's happening around. The whole area was surrounded by the army of God. God will fight for us. If we don't believe, then there is no need to be Christians. If we don't believe that God will fight for us, God is the one who is going before us, there is no need to have faith. We don't need to be cultural Christians. Why do we need to have God? You know, God comes into our help. That is why in several places we see, God is my help. If you look at Psalm 18, we don't know the context, what it was. But he cries to God. God, like a military man, something like, you know, like F-18 flight or like the rolling tanks, he comes down, he delivers him, he just lifts him up and, you know, protects him. He's a very sure help in time of trouble. You may have a lot of people who you can always look up to in times of trouble. But they are not always there. Because everyone is limited. If we are there for another person all the time, then we don't need God. We become God. But we can always bank on God. That is why God is closer than anyone else. Our God does not reside in some far places that we have to go and search for Him once a month or once a year. But God is with us day in and day out. And He understands us. He understands our weaknesses. And He is able to help us out. This is what I read from verse 9. Without waging war, we can win victory. Without waging war. You know, our weapon is not the weapons of this world. The war that we are in, the physical war is very small. Hunger, financial crisis, joblessness, problem. This is small compared to the war we are waging. That is a spiritual war. And God will give us victory. But verse 10 is an amazing verse. 2000, I was going to the consulate, American consulate. And I traveled from one place to another place, to Chennai. And I was really thinking, I'm so tired. And I was also thinking, should I go to America? I can stay here. And I was also afraid because I didn't have a lot of documents. You know, I have seen people who go to the embassies. They take a lot of documents, you know, land deeds and house deeds, bank balance. I didn't have bank balance. I didn't own any land. You know, we were just missionaries. So we didn't have any land. I had 4 papers. Just, I was the last one. They were closing the door. I just jumped from the bus. I just went into the consulate. And as I was in the consulate, someone left a small piece of paper under, the coffee jar. I looked at that one. It's Psalm 46:10. I still have it in my wallet. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, you have put your trust in Him. He will never, forsake you. You will be never put to shame. When you trust in God, you can be strong. Sometimes we will not see, you know, when the enemies around, Hezekiah's situation was at that time. He knew that God was in control, but he was not seeing anything. 185 military men surround the city. And he could not go out, or his people could not come in. And he knew any time they could come in. But he was so strong in his faith. But at the right time, God delivered him. And he says, be still and know that I am God. The same verse is there in Exodus 14:14. I text to my children all the time when they want to make a decision, when they prepare for their tests, I send them. You know, they were, the people of Israel, when they were coming out from Egypt, they were standing before the sea, the Red Sea. The backside, enemies. The other two sides, mountain. They could not climb and escape. And they, you know, if they go forward, they would die. If they go backward, they would get killed. This is what Moses says, be still. Be still, that I will deliver you. Victory belongs to me. How many of you here this evening who want to see victory in your life this evening? You don't need to show your hand. God will give you victory. You know, it may be spiritual victory, emotional victory, relationship victory, or something you've been praying for. God is going to give you victory. And according to verse 10, all believers must stop striving and put their confidence in God. You know, in the midst of trouble, if you are going to put your trust in God and you are going to suspend all your striving, your own efforts, your, you know, the patchwork, that needs confidence. That needs confidence. Says be still means it's a Greek word, a Hebrew word. It is Rapha. That means you stop your striving. Don't go and borrow money. Don't go divorce. Don't go and commit suicide. Or don't go and take drugs because you are not able to face your life. Because you put your trust in God, He is going to give you victory even before you wage war. That is a God we have. I can tell several people here can testify that, you know, God has performed miracles in your life. A lot of time we dwell on the past. We think 20 years ago, God did this miracle. Saying God we trust today. You can trust God, but you have to put all your confidence in Him. Don't give a place for the enemy. The question here is, how do we stop striving and put our confidence in God? That is the sermon today. Psalmist, we just went through the psalm. You can read again and again. It is an amazing psalm. But the question is, how can I be still and know my God? Psalmist gives 3 points here, or 3 suggestions. Suggestion number 1. Recognize that God is bigger than your problem. Recognize that God is bigger than your problem. A lot of time when problem comes, we magnify the problem and we make God so small. That's me. If I have financial problem, my mind doesn't work, I magnify the problem, thinking that I am the one who is supporting my family and I'm the one supporting myself, when I know it is from the Lord. It is He who provides. Or when there is an issue, it may not be there. Oh, what happened to Jonathan? What happened to Judith? So what I do is, I just think and think. I magnify it as if there is something there. And I make the problem so big and I make God so small. I know there are some people who have been waiting for a job for 3 years. They have gone through deception. They have gone through betrayal. They have lost a lot of their money. And, you know, when you talk to them, sometimes they tend to talk about the problems a lot. But Psalmist says here, recognize that God is bigger than your needs, your problems. How do we recognize that? You know, every time you have problem, you look at God. God is bigger. God is bigger. You know, some of the things we can just go through. Mary was 12 years old. Angel of the Lord came and told Mary, Mary, you are going to conceive and bear a child. And she says, how can that be possible? Humanly, it is not possible. Rationally, it is not possible. But the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. God, you know, I was praying for my family. I was thinking, my mother will never come to know the Lord. Highly superstitious. Extreme idol worshiper. And she had all the spirits dwelling in her. And, she thought she was holy, pious, because she was so special. When I became a believer, I knew that my mother had to come to know the Lord. I started praying for everyone else, but not so much for my mother, thinking that it is impossible for God. But my mother was the first one after me to come to know the Lord. You know, you think of Saul. People must have thought, man, this guy killed, or he was instrumental in killing Stephen. And now he is going to Damascus. What is going to happen? This is a very powerful guy, ideologically driven. But nothing is impossible with God. We cannot magnify the problems, but we have to magnify the Lord. You know, that is why Psalmist says, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I will praise the Lord at all time. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. Young lions suffer hunger, but those who trust in the Lord shall never lack any good things. If you want to know, you go and talk to some of the people how God provided for them. This morning, I was talking to, I was interviewing a guy, bright. He has graduate studies. He was stuck in Burma. He didn't have money. For 1 week, he could not leave the country. You know, in his country, there is plenty. But he went there to honor the Lord. When he was there for a week, he didn't have money. He did not know where the food was going to come. He could not even buy water. But one whole week, he saw God providing for him. That became a kind of affirmation that he is going back to Myanmar to preach the gospel. That was an exodus moment for him. This is what he needed, $10. And he did not know how to get the $10 to leave the country. That is kind of tax you have to pay in Myanmar. And God amazingly provided through someone who did not even know him. You know, these are some of the small things. I have heard big things. For God giving you a job, giving you some money, healing is not a big thing. But in all these difficulties, in all these situations, you should know who your God is. You know, that is called your faith. You know, if Abraham had not taken his son to Mount Moriah, he would not know that Jehovah is Jireh, his provider. He went to that final point. At that time, he just burst out, and he says, Jehovah, Jireh, my provider. When his wife, who was 95 years old, when he was 100 years old, when she became pregnant, he says, God Almighty. That is, you know, sometimes we translate as God Almighty is all powerful, but God Almighty is, you know, God is the one who sustains me. The translation is the breast, mother's breast. God is the one who gives me the sustenance for my life. Is there anyone here this evening who want to know God? Be still and recognize that he is bigger than your problems. Suggestion number 2. Refocus more on God by focusing less than your problems. You know, in the same verse, in verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, you refocus more on God by focusing less on yourself and your problems. It's wonderful. You know, some people ask, how can I refocus more on God? You worship. Now, last week when I was driving to San Antonio, I listened to a powerful preacher on the radio. And he says, you worship God, you get victory. A lot of time we don't worship. We don't have victory. A lot of time we focus on ourselves. You know, how much we focus on ourselves. But when we are surrounded by difficulties, we need to focus on God by focusing less on ourselves. You know, there are several suggestions given how to focus on God, but you know, the best one is to worship God more and more. It's so difficult to worship God, but you do it. And when you want to focus on God, you go and talk about God more and more. That is why I like testimony. In some Eastern churches, we have testimony. And I have always seen there is deliverance when you share testimony. When you talk about God, you know, God provided for me. Sometime my children, when they were growing up, when they were teenagers, they used to be afraid. Why Dad is talking about some of these things God gave? But I like to, you know, I have seen when I share what God has done to me, you know, I have victory. I have blessings. That is why Psalmist says, "What shall I render unto you for all the benefits?" There is nothing in this world that I can give, but I can just worship you before the people by sharing, declaring what God has done. Refocus on God by focusing less on yourself. Even giving to the Lord, I think it's wonderful. You focus less on yourself and focus on God more and more. So what happens is you're striving. You can be still, and He's going to give you victory. The final point is reside with God. That we see in verse 5, God is within her. She will not fall. You know, there were so many enemies around, but victory came only when they lived in God. They took shelter in God. You know, Psalm 84, he just walks around. Probably he was, he walked through the wilderness, and he finally came to the temple, the sanctuary of the Lord, and he says, "How beautiful it is! A day in God's presence is much better than a thousand elsewhere." A day in God's presence. You know, sometimes we may say, "Man, I don't want to spend that 1.5 hours in the church." And I was telling, praying this afternoon, some of the churches, one brother today shared, their worship service starts at 11 o'clock and they finish at 5 o'clock. And people don't get bored. We need more God. We need to take shelter in Him. You know, we need to reside in God. Verse 7 also says the same thing. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, after this first year, 1st of January, after we spoke from, you know, after I spoke from Matthew 6:33, every day I get up and say, "Lord, help me to seek you today." And whenever we pray, as an affirmation, I tell, "Lord, this home is yours. Our family is yours. We are yours." We don't want to live in a place where God is not. You know, we don't want to live in a place where God is not. But we want to be in a place where God is, however difficult it is, how much our, threatening it is. We want to be there. Verse 11, the same thing. The Lord Almighty is with us. That is the theme of the psalm. The God of Jacob is our fortress. How do we stop striving and put our confidence in God? Is by recognizing that God is bigger than our problems. And refocusing more on God and less on ourselves. And residing in God. We will close our eyes. And we will just think about how God provided for nation Israel. The water, the provision. Human eyes, it is a chance, but in God's eyes, it was His hand. This evening, if you, if there is anyone who has been praying, or who is thinking, "How can I come close to God?" Or I need a special touch from God. I like you to just focus on the psalm, along with Hezekiah or the psalmist. And I would like you to just, as an affirmation of your faith, just put your hand up and I will pray for you. And if you want, you can even visit with me at the end of the service. Is there anyone who wants this God's blessing here this evening, who have been praying, but you have come to a place where you don't have any hope. Is there anyone here that I can pray for you? Please put your hand up. Thank you, brother. God bless. Thank you. God bless. I will pray for you. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? You know, when you... Thank you, sister. If there anyone, please don't delay, because it's a wonderful time. We all can pray for you together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother and sister here. Lord, man looks at the face, but you look deep inside our hearts. Sometime, Lord, we go through the turmoil that we cannot even explain with human words. We believe that you are in our midst. Lord, I pray for that brother today. Whatever he is praying for, and whatever, Lord, he is waiting on you, you grant unto him, Lord. You touch him in a very, very special way, Heavenly Father. Open windows of heaven and give him, Heavenly Father, whatever his needs are. Thank you for the sister, Heavenly Father, I pray. Lord, you open doors for her. The things she has been praying for, you will grant from above, Lord. Whether it is finance or, Lord, any other needs, physical, spiritual. Nothing is impossible with you. Hallelujah. Before I close, I'd like to ask, is there anyone who is not sure of your relationship with God? You may be thinking, I've been going to church. Or at some point, I went to church and I started going, but I'm not sure whether I am a child of God. There is anyone, I'd like to pray with you, and at the end I can even talk to you how you can make a relationship with God. Is there anyone here? Heavenly Father, we continue to worship you. Thank you for our body here, Lord. We are from different walks of life, in different nations. But we have one Father, one Lord, and one Spirit. Unite us, Heavenly Father. As we go into this world, Lord, help us to go as the representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessings that are spoken in Psalms 46 will be ours. Strengthen us, Lord, today. And once again, those of us who are not sure of a relationship with you, we pray that, Lord, you will give us a conviction of truth, and we will come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.